Welcome to Prairie Unitarian Universalist Society. I'm Mary Mullins, resident of Prairie, and we certainly are glad to see all of you, people who have been here many times before, people who haven't been here maybe at all before, and those of you who haven't come for a long time because you have other places to be on a Sunday. I would like to light our chalice this morning to the divine light that is in every one of us. Also, to the brightness that Prairie has brought to us in the past, to any of you in the past, and the light that Prairie represents to us here right now, and that we hope it will bring each and every one of you who take part in it in the future. And I'd like to ask you now to turn to either to your song sheet or your song book. The song sheets have all the songs, and the song books also have all the songs. It's the first song on your song sheet, or page 60 in your song book. We Are the Earth is written by Kenneth Patton, who is a famous Unitarian writer. And Mike Reese will play the piano for us, and let's all rise.
Well, Mike's going to lead us in the song. I don't know if he wants us to stand or not.
Yeah, I'll stand.
Make new friends.
It is round.
Second thing you saw.
Looks like this at the top.
What page are you?
It's not in the book. It is only on your song sheet, top of the second page. But it's very easy. You don't need to look at it. Oh, for the sake of example, let's split it right down the middle, why don't we? And those people on this side will be the good singers, and these people on this side will be the very good singers.
Can we sing it all once through first?
Sure, once through first. Make new friends, but keep the old. One is silver, but the other gold. Okay, you got that. We'll start with this side, and when these people get to one is silver, then these people come in with make new friends. All right? Make new friends, but keep the old. One is silver and the other gold. Make new friends, but keep the old. Make new friends, but keep the old. One is silver, but the other gold. One is silver, but the other gold. One is silver and the other gold.
Well, young children can go down to their classes. So we actually have a general movement of children down to their classes. Well, we have this service divided into three basic parts from here on: memories of prairie past, the prairie present, and prairie's future. And we're going to start with some memories of prairie's past. And we're going to have three different speakers talk to us. The first one will be Warren Hagstrom. Warren Hagstrom is our present program chair, and he's been, in the past few years, he's been kind of keeping a history of prairie. And I think he's going to talk to us a bit about what some of our important dates were in the last 20 years, or is it 25? 21 years. And after he speaks, the Reverend Max Gabler will speak to us. He was for a very long time the minister at First Unitarian Society, and he, I think, maybe along with a few other people, were the impetus for Prairie's beginning. And I think he'll talk a bit about that. And the third speaker will be Charlie Davidson, who was one of the founding members of Prairie. And I think he may talk a bit about that. And following that, Rachel Siegfried, who in fact has planned this program along with Sharon Scratish, will read a letter from Marvin Werpel. And I don't know who Marvin Werpel was because
he was a past president.
Past president, he was a past president long before I was a member of Prairie. So let's start with Warren. Give us a little history.
I won't say anything because I don't have a voice.
Can you come up?
Not really. I don't have a voice yet. I have a number of copies of this sitting around the hall, and you can read it. Take it home with you if you don't.
You didn't think you were going to have to go so soon, did you?
I know. I can't match that. I can't match that for brevity. Even though I know what brevity is the soul of. Before I say anything else, I do want to convey greetings from all of us at the First Unitarian Society. And I want to extend an invitation. I understand that the announcement period is being foregone this morning in the interests of all that has to take place. And I just wanted to take this opportunity to tell you that on next Sunday, the 26th of February, at 6:30 in the evening, We're having a potluck over at First Society, following which Carolyn and I are going to present an informal program with slides on our almost year and a quarter down under. As I think many of you know, when I retired in the summer of 87, we went off to where I was to Australia, where I was to serve as the interim minister at the Unitarian Congregation in Adelaide, South Australia, following which we spent three more months with the Unitarian Congregation in Auckland, New Zealand. So any of you who would like to join us are more than welcome next Sunday evening. Now, in thinking about what I might say this morning, I realized that my memory of all the events at Prairie go back over all of these occasions that Warren Hagstrom has so nicely listed here. And as a matter of fact, I'm glad to have my memory refreshed. Various names and sequences of events, Warren, had escaped me, and this helps sets me straight. I don't know whether it was you or Jack Jollings who compiled all this, but whoever did, it's an awfully good job, and I'm delighted to have it. I remember so well, as some of you do, the fact that in the mid-60s, as now in the late 80s, we were enjoying in America a time which was good times for churches. People were turning out in throngs, and the difference between then and now was that in those days there were lots more children among the people who were filling our places up. Those were the days, of course, when many of us had four, five, even six children. Now people are more sensible. The next generation is keeping down to saner limits, but in those days we had lots of children, and so there were lots of children filling up all the classrooms. And over at the First Society, as a few of you at least will remember, we had come to the point where we had two complete go-rounds on Sunday mornings, and we had a third one on Friday evenings, and still there were too many children to fit into all the classes. And so we set up a long-range planning committee, which was chaired by Kenneth Parsons, a committee which we'd already built a wing on the building, and there was just no more we could do, we thought, at that point there. So this long-range planning committee looked into what the next steps ought to be, and they brought in some very short-range recommendations, one being that we purchased some property, which we did, out at the intersection of Gammon and Raymond Roads, and secondly, that we start what we called initially a fourth session of the church school, which was to meet in the Holy Name Seminary. It was largely geographical in its base, and indeed our own two youngest children were participants in that program for the 2 years that it met there at Holy Name Seminary, because we, in those days, we lived out on Hammersley Road in Orchard Ridge. Well, we were, as Unitarians are likely to be, we were very non-directive, and we said as far as while we set up the program for children very well, the president of our society at that time, incidentally, was Roland Parrish, and the secretary was Jack Jollings, so you can see we shared leadership very lavishly. And at any rate, Hermine was vice president, that's right. So three out of our four officers came out with Prairie. We were very eager not to set any limits on what might happen, and I think the parents of the children who were in the fourth session of the church school, and perhaps a few other adults who joined in with them, were left to organize whatever programs they wished and to become whatever they wanted. But it took quite a while, in fact, most of those 2 years, I would say, before things finally gelled and a real determination was made to become the Prairie Unitarian Universalist Society. It was in about 1969 that it was actually became a separate entity, and has functioned and became an independent congregation in the spectrum of Madison's religious life. Well, as I think back on that, on those years, they were awfully good years, those beginning years out at Holy Name. But after 2 years, for a variety of reasons, the group determined to move, and they moved downtown to the YWCA. All the dates and particulars are on the list. Later moved out to the Portal Foster Center near Camp Randall. It was in those years that Prairie Society was making some real efforts to establish a pattern of professional leadership. And the one thing I would recall particularly is the 2 years that David and Pat Meyer spent here with Prairie Society. David had finished 2 years at Meadville Theological School. He never did finish school, but he's back in teaching, in college teaching again. But he and Pat were here for 2 years, and I remember a good many of the things that initiatives that David, who was a very excellent, was a scholar of a teacher of a college teacher of English literature and a very skilled in the dramatic arts. Some of the things that under his leadership we did. I remember particularly a Good Friday service that we did jointly down at the Portal Foster Center, in which David had organized and directed and produced a production of a little play on the blind leading the blind. It was well based on that famous painting of whose. Bruegel paintings, thank you. Thereafter, there was another move, and then finally, not too many years ago, the Prairie Society came to the point of deciding that it was a do-or-die effort, shoot the wad, and should we have our own property? And I remember all of the discussions surrounding the decision, which was finally taken, to buy this property. And what a tremendous step forward that represented in the history of this group. And indeed, as I look back on it, it seems to me that it was that was the decisive moment, really, in the evolution of this congregation, that the decision to own your own property gave you a home, a sense of rootage, and the strength and the stability of this congregation has grown markedly and steadily ever since that point. And now, here today, it was marvelous to come back and see what you've done with this building, this wonderful remodeling and addition to the building, which makes it a joy to behold and to utilize, obviously a permanent fixture, or along as permanent as anything is in this human world, in this neighborhood, in this community. And it interests me that all this has happened in the context of coming back to the very geographical part of the greater Madison community that we had envisaged when we bought that prairie site, long since unfortunately sold, but well, sold well and to the advantage of the community, but it's too bad that we aren't out on that hill. This is a pretty good spot though, and I'm just delighted to see it here. And I must say that as you come to this celebration, not only of the new building, but I might say even of your maturity as a society, since at least by the old standards, it used to be when you reached age 21 that you became fully adult. And Prairie now has 21 years behind it and obviously going strong in its 22nd. And as far as I'm concerned, I would just say that this is the kind of enterprise that this community and this city and this nation and this world has strong need of. And so I would say on this day of celebration, may Prairie Society have a long and rich future. Thank you.
Gee, how do you get in the position of having to follow Max Gabler? I'm intrigued by observing things that change and things that don't change, including people. I see that the prairie chicken pluckers and the ethnic impurities are still going. They, I gather, haven't changed. Some people don't seem to change. Eileen, Martha Cullen. Some of us do. Al Nettleton and I have a lot less hair than we did in those days. Some things will probably never change, like my wife gave me a book on puns for Christmas. But at least it gave me a marvelous defense. One of the first quotations I ran into in it is that the literary critics claim that a pun is the lowest form of literature, but even they have to admit that poetry is verse. I wanted to strengthen and support vehemently the theme that Max started with, that I find still needs to be explained to some people, that Prairie was not a splinter group. It was not composed of people who were unhappy or dissatisfied at first. It was deliberately started with the very strong support from First Society in those days. He mentioned the three of the officers who were part of the original group out here. Hermine could not be here this morning. There is parish meeting and more business going on at First Society. She's a member of the board there again. She has served another term as vice president out there as she was when came out here. I thought it might be worth giving my impression of roughly three groups of people who have made up Prairie. One was the starting support from First Society, those three and quite a good many others who came deliberately from First to help get the group on its feet and get going, many of whom stayed. There are some who had been to First and who came to Prairie and compared them and liked the Prairie style better, preferred it. And of course, there are many who have come in directly to Prairie and have found that it satisfies it and the people, satisfy their needs for religious experience. And again, that kind of diversity is important. What constitutes the difference in Prairie? One of the things that we hit right off the bat was a strong desire for less formality. Whether structured music or structured program or organizations, talked about the organization, the struggle in getting the group organized. How do you organize people who don't want to be organized, who don't like organization? And we had to fight our way through that problem. Prairie stressed from the beginning and has continued to diversity. The diversity of people, of points of view, of activities, of interests, and not only a tolerance for diversity, but an enjoyment of, a strength in this kind of diversity. With the diversity grew a togetherness, and there were deliberate as well as spontaneous efforts to encourage that kind of togetherness. Partly by necessity of circumstance and partly as an outgrowth of those attitudes was the fact that Prairie people tended to participate much more directly, much more firsthand in the experiences. Sure, there's committee structures, but in the actual activities going on. I vividly remember during the middle of that first year when we had decided early on it'd be good to have Max come out and help us out. And Max was the minister for that morning. And Prairie had gotten so used to the informality that long before the 20 minutes were up, the audience was writhing. They wanted to talk back. They did. During that first year, we did have a visitor from UUA, tried to give us some ideas as to what kind of support they could give to new fellowships or societies. It turned out that not very much came of that. The financial support was not in a position to be forthcoming, and we were pretty much on our own. We struggled through that first year, that 67, 68, trying to decide where we wanted to go, what we wanted to do, did we want to be independent, did we want to be another arm, and so on. I recall participating that spring in a committee that grew up. I don't recall the official name of the Articles of Conspiracy that we finally adopted, but it did come to the conclusion and make the statement and receive the support, almost unanimous as far as I can recall, that we wanted to become a separate society. As Max said, it was beginning of the second year that that actually was taken. We, Hermine and I were at the University of Edinburgh, 1968-69, so we got the group to state what we're going to do and we left them. Came back the following year and we're here for another 10 years. But that was the key statement in the first year. And we finally decided, and it was not obvious in the beginning, we wanted to be a society, an independent society. And there's some discussion in Warren's history about the suggestions for names, like Far Out and so on. But primarily because of the association with the property that First Society had bought with the idea explicitly of trying to have it as a future site for another Unitarian group way out on Prairie Road with Pasc flowers on the hillside. The name Prairie seemed to appeal in many ways, and a lot of those thoughts were reflected in the bond of union, which I am tickled to see is still going with very few changes from what we had drawn up. No, it wasn't that first year, it was the third year, I think, that we actually got a bond of union stated. But we did try to state what were our ideas, what were the things that were important to us. Sure, drawing on First Society's bond, but not mimicking it exactly, trying to state what our own strengths were. Max referred to Dave and Pat Meyer. We had, with UUA's help and other friends and associates, been able to arrange for part-time residency of Dave Meyer to be, he was paid half-time as a minister here. Just before he left, one of the statements that he made was, don't try to do this again, it ain't fair to the guy. It's a full-time job, and you've got to commit yourself to those funds. We didn't have those funds. We did not have the kind of congregational strength, pattern of giving. We could not see our way to promising to pay a minister full-time. We couldn't make it. And that's why the soul-searching committee, is that what it was called, looked into this and came up with the idea of the rotating lay ministry. This was adopted the year that Dave was going to be leaving, and I'm surprised, frankly, to see it is still the pattern going on here. But you'll notice that it goes back to those strengths that I had mentioned, the characteristics, diversity and participation. Not everybody had the same ideas, ideals, interests. If we get somebody in as a minister all year long, we're going to be molded rather strongly by what he or she thinks is important. And we will have a pretty steady dose of it. We will gain some members, we will probably lose some members. One of the strengths of the rotating lay ministry was that if you don't like it, hang around 3 months, it'll be something different. And in fact, that is the way it has worked. There has been a tremendous pulling together of different concepts, different approaches, different things to be sensitive to, different things to dedicate yourself to. And in spite of the detractors who said, well, rotating lay ministry is just another name for a whirling dervish, I'm tickled to see that the thing did continue and has still served the needs of the group. I did notice in the history reference to a lay ministry program, 81-82, on the disagreements that unite us, Unitarian Universalists. I can't help making the comment in reference to the earlier passing comment about the division in the society at the time of the newspaper strike, which is when Hermine and I found that we did not feel a part of the community anymore, that had this program come in 3 years sooner, we might still be with you.
We were very happy to have a letter from Marvin Werpel, who was one of our past presidents. He couldn't be here today. He's on vacation out in California. And part of his letter remarks I will read to you. The Prairie Society provided an extremely helpful experience to our growth. Deterioration? Theologically and sociologically. Our attendance was during the Vietnam period when society in general and one family, and our family in particular, was stressed. The community of politically like-minded friends provided emotional and tangible support. It was also a period of theological remission on our part. We sought the Unitarian theology, but eventually found that we required it no more than the Methodism we had left. Our disappointment over the dissolution of many of our Prairie friends' marriages removed the best of the social benefits it offered us. Hence, we allowed ourselves to disappear into heretical oblivion. Though we are still comfortable being identified as Unitarians, we congratulate the Society on its accomplishments and progress. May it continue long in its service to others through its diversity and tolerance, as it so assisted us. Sincerely, Marv and Mary Jane Werpel.
As people have mentioned here, there are people that are no longer a part of Prairie for one reason or another. And we'll have a few moments of silence right now, and anyone who wishes to mention a person or persons that have been a part of Prairie in the past, someone they miss, may do so at this time.
Les Lyons.
Betsy Roberts.
Brother Mary Jones.
Roland Parrish.
Roland and Avis.
Lilo Cale.
Rand Copley.
Lars Hagstrom.
Roland Parrish.
Kathy and Marty Erberg.
Rand Copley.
Rebecca Clark.
Van Willen. Clark Edwards.
A woman whose name I'm blocking now, but she may be Lori's. It's right behind the flowers on the piano.
Nancy Mackle.
Oh, yeah.
Sherman. Mark.
John and Leslie Miller.
Any others?
Steve Friedman, Ellen Friedman.
Colin Warren.
David and Barbara Carson.
Barbara Golden.
Linda Geronger.
I'd like to mention Allison and David McKee.
Charlie and Hermine.
Not quite gone yet.
What is
that? All of these are dead.
Brent and Bale Haglund.
Ori and Eleanor Laux.
Hugh Elvis.
Rosemary Dorney.
I saw that name. I was wondering.
Linda Schaldart.
Any others?
In order to keep up our reputation for informality, I'm glad we still have some people left.
Okay, in memory of all of our past, let's sing the song Precious Memories. Memories, it's on page 37 in your songbooks, or it's also printed in your song series.
What is the stand?
Well, I don't know, we can make sure we're tuned first.
Let's all stand. We sing by this song.
Thank you.
Well, we're in the second major portion here, Prairie Present. And we'll have a number of speakers. Jack Jollings, who has long been with the Society. And he's, in fact, the person that brought me into Prairie, because I had known him as in my neighborhood work. And he was, of course, in political work. And then when Prairie came to Prairie here, he invited me to come and talk a bit about the neighborhood, and eventually I joined. After that, we will have a song that has been written in memory of this present occasion by Barbara Lawrence and Barbara James. And she and Joe Lawrence and Mike Briggs will do the song. Then Lee Bullen, who has long been a stalwart of Prairie, will talk a bit. Then Al and Eileen Nettleton, also longtime members. Dick and Julie Bonzer, longtime members. Bob Park, I don't know how longtime a member he is.
Quite long.
Ann Urbanski, who many of us took a long time to remember that she was married, and she was no longer Ann Reardon. And then finally, Donna Murdoch, who is our newest member. So, let's start this portion. Jack.
Well, hearing so much about the past, I feel odd talking about the present. But long-range planning has always been, I had to write this down, I don't know why I forget. Long-range planning has always been important to the life of Prairie. It is safe to say that without the work of a long-range planning committee, since we first moved into this building, we will not be here dedicating our 21st year of existence. In 1985, under the chairmanship of Al Wellington, spurred on by an exhaustive study of membership growth projections by our late Les Lyon, and a study of potentially needed building changes by Al, Rachel Siegfried, Mary Beth O'Halloran, and others, the long-range planning committee then presented a resolution to the board and to the parish for consideration of these matters. And the parish in 1986, in the fall, November to be precise, voted to get started. After about a year and a half of intense and widespread discussion of the committee's proposal of what we wanted and were they possible, and you know, Unitarian can never reach agreement too easily, they finally, however, reached near unanimous agreement. And we voted to accept the recommendation of the building committee and to get started. After various frustrating delays this past summer and this fall, necessitating our meeting on Sundays at another location, the work was finally finished. Work is never finally finished, but at least as of now. So here we are. It would be unforgivable not to mention the names of those on the long-range planning committees. Al Wellington, Rachel Siegfried, Rick Recking, myself, and in the early phases, Warren Hagstrom, Brent Hagman, Dorothy Weatherby. And on the building committee, very important to actually carry the thing through, Tom Robinson, Al Wellington, and Rick Recking. And whether they liked it or not, attending many meetings of both lead committees that whole time with the editor of our Prairie Fire newsletter, first Lee Bullen and then Dick Bonnie. So here we are.
We gotta go first.
A song in there. That's fine.
We weren't listed because Rachel asked me to do this, and I had the flu at the time, and I wasn't sure I could. And when I started again to get into it and felt better, I still wasn't sure I could. And what came is going to test your tolerance. This is a dissenting view.
I must point out that I have been here from the very beginning. I produced four sons, which is one of the reasons why we had to go find another place to house. And we used to argue a whole lot. And one of the things I used to argue against was buying a building and getting ourselves with the debt. And with due respect to Max, we used to say that the problem with First Society is they had an edifice complex. If we weren't going to have it, so just wait.
The title of this song is Edifice Rex with a W.
We apologize to all our good friends. Oh, can I start with the chorus?
Oh, you didn't want...
Okay, this is well rehearsed. All right.
We've got a mortgage like a real live church. We get our moral energy on pledged research. We'll haul it in, we'll meet our goal. The kids can stay down in the hall. Hooray for building, we're a real live church. Our church was getting crowded with the folks too far from food. The office space was cramped and all the restrooms very crude. The handicap could not get in, the lobby was too small. And space and sun for children we had nothing of at all. We got a mortgage like a real live church. We spend our moral energy on pledge research. We'll haul it in, we'll need our goal. Kids can stay out in the whole array for building. We're a real live church. The adults form committees and they vote to take the chance. We need more room for coats and hats. We don't need room to dance. We need a fancy kitchen so there's food if we feel faint. The kids would like some sunshine, but they'll settle for some paint. We've got a mortgage like a real live church. We spend our moral energy on pledge research. We'll haul it in, we'll meet our goal. The kids can stay down in the hole. Hooray for building, we're a real live church. We've got a rack of hangers we can use when we unwrap.
This is bummerized.
The office will be plumbing with a shiny dripless hat. We've got a fancy microwave that's ready near at hand. A place to put the coffee pot just like we always planned. We've got a mortgage like a real live church. We'll spend our moral energy on pledge research. We'll haul it in, we'll meet our goal. The kids can stay down in the hole. Hooray for building, we're a real live church. We didn't need a Frank Lloyd Wright to be our architect. Our fearless brain committee did the job you would expect. And since we need our powerhouse more than sun or light or air, the palace of scum power is the Frank Lloyd Wright's affair. We've got a mortgage, we're a real live church. We've got a fancy carpet, we must not be starch. The wall is and will be our goal. We just can stay down in the hole. Hooray for building, we're a real live church.
Book of Prairie Fires runs for about 8 or 9 years. I picked out a few little, some of them amusing stories that we found in it.
We rediscovered Prairie on September 24th of 1978. We had attended Prairie twice while they were meeting at Fort O'Foster. And then we couldn't find where they disappeared. They disappeared. Well, we finally found them. And The Sunday after we found them was Upham Woods Sunday. Well, we signed up for Upham Woods that first time, and we've been hooked on Upham Woods ever since.
And Prairie.
Oh, yes.
Our first prairie fire announced that Carolyn Bridge wanted to be relieved of being editor. Kristen Miracle was doing the mailing at that time, and some quick printer was doing the printing. And I got the idea that I could do all three of those operations, so I volunteered.
One of the early announcements was that the membership book was missing. Do you remember that?
You've always been informal.
Holly Loring found it in a closet.
Well, sometime later it was lost again. And then we started a temporary membership book so that we could keep track of new members until the old book was, the official book was found. Well, the temporary book disappeared.
The October 5, 1979 issue announced a meeting to discuss the purchase of our new home for $60,000. Would you believe we voted unanimously to buy it? I think that's wonderful.
At a service on January 18th of 1980, this was, I believe, the 10th anniversary of Prairie, and we came up with the idea of writing predictions for the next 10 years, which we put in a time capsule. Remember that? The surest prediction, and the most one that was stressed most certainly, was that in 10 years we'd not be able to find the time capsule.
That's one mystery, but we have another one. We found a printed order for service folder dated March 4, 1980, to be used in the dedication of our new building. In another prairie fire, the next one, or two later, the edition of April 30th, announced the dedication of the meeting house on May 20th, and Max Gabler was to speak. But how come those two different dates? And the early program, it's a printed floor, we've got it, you can see it. But then the announcement, we don't know. Maybe somebody knows the answer to it.
Well, the issue of February 18th, 1982, I want to emphasize 82 because it's something that was mentioned last week. We had a Valentine party and created a huge Valentine about that wide and so high, and put little statements about things that we didn't want to happen to us in this period of nuclear danger. And then Bob Nelson, who was going to Washington, delivered it to the White House with all these little things. Don't do this to us, and don't expose us to nuclear warfare and so forth. And we got a letter from Ronald Reagan thanking us for thinking of him.
Well, that letter survives, I think that's a treasure. October 21st, 1986 is the date of our last publication of Prairie Fire, except that we have occasionally helped out as a substitute when our editor has been on vacation or on a trip or something. So have we kept any more of them after the October 21st? But we've got some early ones in there. I think you might, if you can get to it by and by, enjoy looking at our collection there. And this should stay in Prairie so that you can have a chance to look at it another time if you can't today.
Chain it down. Might disappear.
We're quite relieved to be free of our deadline every 2 weeks, and we're very happy that Prairie Fire is in excellent hands.
Yes.
Alice, even though she wasn't listed on the program. Yeah. We're going to have more speakers here, but while that's happening, I'm going to pass the basket. Let's do it on this side and then that side.
I want to make one comment in regards to one of the things that in the progression of events as Max was speaking. And the support that was given through First Society, you know, that they really helped get the group started. Not only did they help get it started, but when we moved into this building, they also renewed their support in terms of providing a no payback loan to the group in purchasing this building. So it has been a continual support over the years too. I guess we were asked to think of some things that have been highlights for us, and for us, at least in the last 15 years, Prairie has been a place that's been a family place for us, and has been very supportive of us as a family, and it's been wonderful for our children to be a part of this community, and they've really grown up in Prairie. And I was thinking back to some of the special intergenerational programs that we've had, where we've included the families and everybody in the society as part of those services. One that I recall, it's hard to narrow down, but one that I specifically recall, well, there's Mary Lou Carroll too. Mary Lou rides with us in the car to Upham Woods, so she's sort of part of the extended family too. That's who the kids think you are, is the person who goes with us to Upham Woods. One of the particular services I remember is a holiday service. We were never quite sure whether to call them Christmas or holiday or solstice, but one where Mike Briggs was reading from Luke, the Christmas story, and Marty Drapkin brought all the children in their bathrobes, etc., and they paraded in as shepherds and so forth. Do you remember that, Andy? No, you don't remember that. As they came in and were part of it, and just standing there in the parts of that historic story, they were great listeners and participants at the same time. And you know, I think that it's really been great. We, you know, have lots of images, I think, of Marty with troops of children following him around at different places and times.
And the kazoos.
Yes, sometimes kazoos at Upham Woods.
Before talking about family programs, there are a couple of things that I wanted to comment on that had been said earlier. One is, Max, when you talked about Dave and Pat, we get correspondence from them at Christmas time, as I think some others in Prairie do. And Dave has started his own religious publishing company as an independent publisher. So it's a venture that's really substantial for them as a family to take on. Very risky, but they've published 12 titles last year. And Charlie, I think, was really rather modest when he was talking, because you realize in these days a word processor is absolutely essential for Prairie. Charlie had the bylaws as data in a Fortran program when we were trying to revise them one time. Charlie was really the author of the Bond of Union, the predominant author of the Bond of Union, and I understand also one of the predominant authors of the bylaws. And I've been hearing some of his comments during the time. He is also the one that put the lettering in the front of our membership book. So Charlie is an accomplished...
That's why they threw it out.
Accomplished calligrapher. There are a couple of things about the family emphasis of Prairie that I would like to comment on. One is sorry, this is not the present. We're going to deal with some of the past, but the present being defined as since we've been in this building. Frederica and I think Mary put signs up one day segregating this building. And I don't even remember now what we were segregated on. Color of hair, color of eyes, height.
Eyes.
Blue and brown eyes. Blue and brown eyes. And that's a program that our children certainly remember. Martin Luther King celebration. And we had a set of chairs up here, and I got to drive the bus, and I brought along my stapler to punch tickets with. And that kind of program for our children has ended up being something that we have felt extremely fortunate to have here.
We have to say that the children wore different color armbands, I think, and if they had one color of armband, they could sit in front. If they had another color, they had to go to the back. So it was very, again, very...
The third color pushed.
And then the final thing to comment on is that we've started a new tradition in Prairie since we've been in this building of having the children join us at the beginning of our program. And a consistent part of that program, Charlie, is the Bond of Union that you helped provide for us. And we did that again this morning. The children went downstairs. Middle schoolers are here, I see. But the rest are going to be joining us in a little bit, and having the children participating in the programs has, I think, been a real benefit for Prairie.
When I was asked to do this, I was asked to talk about what Prairie was like when we started. And I, listening to this, you know, lots of memories come forth, and I guess I'm going to be more personal. I heard about Prairie before we ever came here. I was sitting in on a class that Annis Pratt was teaching at the university, and she mentioned Upham Woods. And it sounded like this marvelous place to go with the flying squirrels and the autumn leaves and the waters and the canoeing. Dick and I have always been active in some kind of religious group. But we were not, I was not happy where I was, and it was related to funeral services. And I want to say again, I was reminded at the memorial service for Shirley's mother how much I appreciate UU memorial services, because they are a celebration of life, which is much more comfortable to me than anything I experienced previous to being affiliated here. So I was searching around, and I was talking to a neighbor of mine, Kathy Erberg, and we decided that we would try Prairie out. And we came to Prairie, as I always thought it was 74, but I see from when I signed the book it was probably 75, because we attended here a year before I signed the book as a member. And the first service we came to was during the lay ministry of Al Nettleton and Steve Friedman, and it seems to me the service was about trains, because this was at Porto Foster, and somebody had put up their train outfit in the middle of the service, and Mike Briggs played the piano, Chattanooga Choo Choo, I remember playing. And I think Barbara read from a law book, if I don't remember. I may have this garbled somewhere. At some point, I remember during that year, Barbara was in law school, and her favorite reading was excerpts from law books.
The humor is there, but you do have to hunt.
And
And Kathy and I came home and said to our spouses, you've got to come to this place, it's terrific. And we've been coming ever since. Unfortunately, Kathy and Marty have moved to Detroit, or outside of Detroit, but they are still active with the UU. Kathy last year went to leadership training that was in Beloit. So Prairie has influenced them. The other thing I remember is bringing our children to the RE program, and one of the first things my children talked about is that I think the first Sunday they were there, Theron Caldwell at the time was the RE director, and I'm not sure what the curriculum was, but the children were outside on the sidewalk in front of Portal Foster measuring out the length of the arc with these pieces of wood that were supposed to represent cubits. I think the arc was 40 cubits long, but I'm not sure. We were talking, my daughter is here this Sunday, and we talked about her doing that, and we were reminded that a cubit is the length from your elbow to the tip of your finger, so it's a very measure depending how tall you are. But I thought it was a terrific and creative way of involving kids in religious education. And we kept coming for several years, and I remember the move to Colby Street, at that point I was down in the hole in Colby Street with the middle schoolers in this very teeny tiny room with all these boys. This was the year, and Jeff Sandler and my son Jeff and John Briggs and a couple other young boys, and I convinced them that we needed more space, so we got this sort of space in the middle of the basement in Colby Street that was divided by wall dividers. And I'm down in the basement again with middle schoolers, the AYS group now, and it's a much pleasanter room, I must say, that we have now. I've got a lot more space, so it feels a lot more comfortable. But while we're at Colby Street, I wonder, we haven't sang this song since we left there, just after we left there, but Dodie Chaprue wrote a song about it. Prairie people meet each week on Colby Street. Prairie people, let's see, meet each week on Colby Street. We cut the ice with a chip, 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 and we listen to the gerbils scritch, scritch, scritch. Prairie people meet each week on Colby Street. Prairie has a home on Winona Way. Prairie has a home on Winona Way. We found a place to sing and dance and play and meet with our extended family. Prairie has a home on Winona Way. If people remember Colby Street, we shared the space with the Montessori School, and as we met each week, we had less and less space to meet in until we were finally surrounded by dividers and toys. And I think there may have been a group of about 15 or 20 of us.
Oh, we needed less space.
So Eileen was the president that year, and Dick was the vice president. And the congregation took the leap of faith and decided we had to buy a building. And Eileen and Dick and all the other members of the committees got together, and we raised the pledges, and we bought this building.
Never let me be an officer since.
Committee on committees will remember that.
He's very
busy.
Committee since then. I remember it was a search for window frames or something like that, which we still need. And I remember when I started, I was in school, and my first professional job after I got out of school was with a member of our society. Pat Hotley hired me to work on a project that she did, and she was president of Prairie Society that year, and I worked with the Channing Murray group, which led to me meeting some of the people at First Society, such as Max and Gertrude with the lay minister. And since then, I've done a couple of other things to try and encourage our ties to First Society. When I started working, I guess, full time, I decided I needed to cut down on my activities.
I tend to get overextended, so my priorities were going to be my home and Prairie Society and play. And fortunately, Prairie has provided a lot of the scope for play, too. But it's also provided me with a great deal of strength and sense of community. We've been coming about 6 months when my daughter had an accident where she broke her leg. She had a broken femur and was in the hospital for a month. And people from Prairie came by with dishes to cook. The Briggs came to the hospital with us to celebrate Christmas, and because Joella was confined to her bed up there in Traction. The support that we give each other has been very important and continues. Gave me the opportunity to be a lay minister this last year, and out of that lay ministry on alcoholism, we started a group of people struggling with addictions. People who are affected family members, shall we say, and people who are struggling with addiction for themselves. When the building was being remodeled, the group stopped, but we hope to start again, and that's something that is also going to be done in conjunction with First Society. And it feels like our lives are inextricably bound up with Prairie. That's sort of been some of our experiences here, and I want to thank Prairie for being and allowing us to contribute. Dick has got his story, I guess.
I am fortunately a man of few words. If I didn't agree with what she was saying and enjoy listening to it, I wouldn't have hung around this long. But I can't resist a good straight line sometimes. First, the most important thing that I have to say is, as editor of the Prairie Fire, today's the day. And if you want things in, you've got to give them to me today. I have pens and paper. There's no excuse. If it's in your head, you can have it in my folder. Secondly, I'm a longtime motorcyclist, and one of the most memorable things about services at Prairie was our service on Zen and the Art of Motorcycling, in which we had, lo and behold, for your entertainment and enjoyment, a real live motorcycle being ridden around.
It was George's.
Yes, it was George's. It wasn't a very large one, but it was a real one. And we rode it. And a part of the present is the opportunity to respond to what's been happening here, said and sung. And the song stung a little bit, frankly, and I'm sure it was meant to. But if we had not done what we did in acquiring a mortgage and an edifice Rex, we wouldn't be. At least, I'm convinced in my own heart that we wouldn't be. And I'll suffer the outrageous slings and arrows of my friends for that. At least, we're here to save it. That's really all I've got to say, except that it's been a long and thoroughly enjoyable association for me, and I hope it continues at least as much longer.
This was scheduled. She was in England seeing Casey, and then the rededication was scheduled for now, and it turned out to be in the middle of her ski week in Utah, so she's skiing still a bit. I'll be around to answer questions about photographs of Prairie events here and away in other places.
Bob, I'd like to hear how you got to become a member of Prairie. Unless you care not to.
Well, when I first came to Madison, I was in Methodist groups, and I attended the Quaker meeting. And the Quaker meeting was just a block from the Fort Foster Center, when I came to the Portland Foster Center, it was a more friendly group than the friends. I ended up joining Prairie after attending off and on for a while. I really enjoyed the environmental concerns that the group had at the time.
Did you meet anybody here that you really liked, Bob?
Well, yes, as a matter of fact, at Upham Woods, where I met Barbara.
I wasn't told I would have to come up to the front.
I'm relatively new compared to a lot of people who have spoken. I came here the first time, I think, about June of 1982. Came back another time in July and signed a membership book the second time I was here. I'll be real brief because I know it's getting late. I do recall having gone to first. I come out of a Catholic background. And I think I'm pretty, not totally typical, but not atypical of a lot of people who were raised in something that they felt really straitjacketed by and tried to be something that they weren't. And so I discovered UU through the Jack Mendelsohn book, Why Am I a Unitarian Universalist, and remember certain page where I say, yes, 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 to about 15 different things on a page. But came to Prairie, and what Prairie has meant to me, just to be brief, is Prairie has been kind of like my second family. Many of you may know that I'm from New Orleans originally, and I've been up in Wisconsin since 1973, but in all that time, my family has been, you know, like 500, 800, 1,000 miles away is the closest family member, and I'm now married into a very nice family that when they're around, they're 80 miles away, so I don't have any relatives nearby, and Prairie has given me an intellectual home and also an emotional home, and I, to paraphrase Will Rogers, I'm not a member of any organized religion, I'm Unitarian, but I like that. I wouldn't go someplace where I was expected to think exactly like anybody else, so I expect to be here for a long, long time. I haven't seen any place else that I like better, and I've been on the board off and on different times, and I enjoy working with people and for people, and I like this addition. I don't know about anybody else. And I think the kids actually do have more room downstairs. It's not, they're not upstairs, but they have more room, so I'm glad we finally got this off the ground and that we're finally rededicating this place. So that's all I have.
I was asked to speak because I'm the newest member of Prairie, and I signed the book about 3 weeks ago. I have been in Madison for a year and a couple of months, and I'd like to tell you about why I joined. When I lived in Boston, I worked at a progressive high school on the outskirts of Boston, and one of the founding principles of that school was that each child was different from every other child, and that what made a particular person made a particularly educated person useful in his walk of life, what made him an individual, what made him interesting, was very often not his similarities to other people, but his differences. And the idea was to teach the child to think for himself instead of passively accepting stereotyped ideas. And you could walk down the class of the corridors of that school and you could hear arguments and discussion on the dialogues of Plato or economic theory or the Vietnam War or theater of the absurd. And it seemed to me that this church was something like that school, that it was a place where you could question and analyze life's important questions together. There seemed to be a touch of anarchy in the air. A place where ideas could be born. I hope it is a place that marries the questioning mind with service to one's fellow creatures. I hope it's a place that where you are among friends, where you're safe to make a fool of yourself in the search for truth and meaning. I hope it is a place that is forgiving and accepting of one's frailties and imperfections. I guess it boils down to compatibility. We join a church because it seems comfortable to our very essence. It's a place we hope will nourish our soul. Prairie seems like a place, and I can certainly see that from this sheet, that is always changing like a river. So I decided to jump in with you, splash around a bit. Maybe we'll have to swim against the stream of things. Sometimes we'll have to flail, and sometimes we might be able to float on our backs a little and wonder at the heavens.
Thank you very much for that. And I'd like to welcome our newest member, Donna Murdoch. After several weeks, we usually get a name tag, and I'd like to see if I can pin this on you without sticking you. I'll give you the welcoming hug. Then we have a choir number. We have a new choir that has just started up in the last month or so. We hope that we're going to be able to sing songs more often than once every year or two. The piece that we're going to do is called Spring. It's from a collection, Songs of Innocence, of William Blake, put to music by a UU, Jim Riley. Make this new edition possible. Jack Donnelly, I'd like you people to just stand up as I name your name. Jack is named the members of the Long Range Planning Committee. And I'd like to ask all those people to stand. Jack Jollings, Al Nettleton, Rachel Siegfried, Barb Park, who isn't here, Tom Robinson, Dorothy Weatherby, Rick Recking, Rosemary Dorney, who no longer is here, Ann Urbanski, I think Pat Watkins and Julie Bonzer at one time were members. At least you came to meetings. Linda Lewis, Linda Dale, and Dick Bonzer. Okay, and would you sit down, and again? Thank you very much. The Ad Hoc Capital Fund Drive Committee, these were very important people. They raised about $30,000 in cash that had to be on the barrelhead within 3 months of the time that they started fundraising, and the congregation responded very well. Rachel Siegfried convened the committee and was its secretary later. The co-chairs were Jack Jollings and Dick Bonzer. Also on the committee, Al Nettleton, Ken Skog, Barb Park, Rick Recking, Mike Briggs, Henry and Annis Pratt. Julie, were you on?
Yeah.
Ann Urbanski, Marcia and Dave Johnson, and I also attended. Thank you. Well, we had a big garage sale, and I want to mention these people because they put in tremendous hours. Henry Pratt was the chair. He's, I know, off in Detroit, I guess, right now. I was a member. Linda Lewis, Linda Dale was a member. Rachel Siegfried again. You'll notice some repeat names here, won't you? Bob Nelson, Linda, Ellen, Frederica Schilling, Dorothy Weatherby, Dick Bonzer, and were there others who were on that committee that really worked hard? No, there were other people that came. Thank you for helping raise that money. The building committee, I think Jack named the names, but please stand again. Tom Robinson was our chair, and he's still very busy, I think. Yeah. Al Nettleton. I'd like to give special recognition to both of these men. I think, I don't know how many hours, Al, you spent over here working since the building was supposedly ready. I don't know, thousands of hours it seems like.
Fortunately, Eileen left town every now and then.
And he was working yesterday all afternoon getting the stove in the basement and getting the sink in the basement. So if you want to see some of his work, look there. And if you want to see more of his work, look at all the cabinets there. And Bill Grover also helped with that. Tom Robinson has been our liaison with our builder, Gerald Anderle, and also with the architect, Ed Solner. And he's done a tremendous job in taking the load off of other volunteers that have been doing other things. Thank you, both of you. Also on this committee were Bill Grover. Was Bill Grover. Were there others? Rick Recking?
Dan Moss and Karen Gross.
And Karen Gross. Okay, thank you very much. Well, we had to go off and get, a $66,000 loan or something, Bob? First, Henry Pratt was chair of this committee, then he had to leave to go to Detroit, where he's living now. And so, Bob Nelson, would you stand up? He did a lot of our work. Talking to the bank, M&I Bank in Hilldale. And also on the committee, Eileen Nettleton, Mike Briggs, and Lou Cummerow. Thank you very much. We're not going to sing Turn, 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 just because of the time element here. 11:35, we're going to sing another song, though. I think our young people have something to do for us. Bring them in. They've probably been standing out here for 20 minutes.
We knew we were singing. Thank you.
The preschool children have talked this morning a little bit about what the building and the work that's gone into it has meant to them. I found out about people painting and about other kinds of things. They have made pictures of the building that they're going to show. Do you want to see the pictures of
And the K1 and 2 group also talked about what they like about Prairie. Now, who was it that told me that they like the songs we sing? Would you raise your hand?
I do.
Music, was it the music you play on the xylophone? Who is it that likes to play music on the xylophone? Bobby? Oh, and he's a hero. Who is it that liked the art projects? Oh, I know, Eric. And what particular project did you like, Eric?
I liked making this macaroni.
Yeah. And a couple of weeks ago, you made a little house for one of your pets.
Yeah,
what
sure.
Pet? A snake. Okay. And who is it like the games we play? Ian? What game is it you like that we play?
Duck, duck, goose.
Okay. Was there something else? Is Bridget here? No. Well, we have a few missing, but who likes the snacks? So all in all, and oh, we forgot the stories. Who is it like the story? Erin. And can you tell us one particular story you like that we've read in the last few weeks? The Biggest Bear. There was another bear story. Does anybody remember that? Somebody mentioned that when we were talking. The one where... And what was it called?
We're saying something that we like about the Sunday school class and about the new church.
And we like what we're doing right now because we're working on Egyptian and all stuff like that.
And I think it's fun and the new church is bigger and interesting.
I like painting on the walls. We have been browsing piece of paper now this one room and we paint our letter a cave or something with marker.
Chairs put away. What you do is put the chairs away and form a big circle around the room. I'm in the room.